Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to the Shir. We are approaching Acharemos and Kedoshim this Shabbos, and we also just experienced Yom HaAtzmaut this week. So a little bit different that we're meeting on a Thursday night, but also we have a Thursday night Mishmar feel. So yeah, I'm so happy to be here with you all. Thank you so much for coming. How does the Parsha of Acharemos relate to Eretz Yisrael? How does the Parsha of Kedoshim relate to Eretz Yisrael? So let's start with Acharemos. V'lo ta'kiyo oretz eschem b'tama'achem, osa. Kasher ko'es ha'goya sh'lifneichem. So after discussing all of the illicit relationships in the end of the Parsha, the Torah warns us that if these relationships are committed on the land of Israel, the land will literally spit you out. And Rashi explains, Mashal leben melachim, you have a prince, she'echilu davar ma'us, and they fed him something disgusting. Shein omed me'av ela me'kio. Because he is the king's son, he's used to eating very fine foods, and his system is a little bit more sensitive. So if there's a little bacteria, a little bit of dirt, etc., he will be more likely to throw up. Kach so too, Eretz Yisrael eina mekayemes ovrei avera. But Eretz Yisrael, the land itself, cannot tolerate sin, and therefore, almost as a natural response to sin, the people who commit these averos will get wiped out. They will get kicked off of the land. Rashi in this week's parsha. Similar concept, not in the Marmukomos, is the Ramban. The Ramban, in his Jerushos for Rosh Hashanah, one year spoke passionately about the advantage of living in Eretz Yisrael, and similarly, the stakes being higher for the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, because you live in the palace of the king, so you're in the presence of the king, and therefore, if you sin, it's much worse, because what did Ahasuerus say, right, to Haman when he was falling over Esther? In the palace, you're going to do this? Meaning it's one thing to do something out of the palace, but literally in the presence of the king, you know? So the Ramban writes that the response of the Ribono Shel Olam is more severe, the stakes are higher, and we have a concept on the books that the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael are held maybe to a higher standard, held a little bit more strictly, etc. And in this week of the year, I always think about Aliyah, the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael. And on one level, we have to be so grateful to the Jews who are defending our land. And on Yom HaZikaron, we shed a tear, or several of them, for those who are sacrificing. And even in TABC, Baruch Hashem, we have a very nice percentage of Talmidim who go to the IDF. And it's not just people who are from Israel, meaning many Americans. Go, anyone here have a son or a nephew or anything like that? So it's very common that Americans will also, you know, feel that level of sacrifice, but obviously it's not a mandatory service. So it's a week to have Eretz Yisrael on our mind. And we can't go too often in this year without speaking of Eretz Yisrael, and certainly we can't pass upon Hey Yar in the season without speaking of Eretz Yisrael. But point number one of this year is that the standards are higher. The Parsha is teaching us that it's a different ballgame in Eretz Yisrael. But let's go on. Parshas Kedoshim speaks ironically about, not ironically, but it's not really connected to Eretz Yisrael at first glance. Ipnei Seva Takum. What does that mean? You should stand up for a Seva. Right, so Seva is a funny word. It seemingly means an old person. Vadarta Pnei Zaken. And you should respect the Zaken. Okay, and fear God, I am Hashem. And then the pasuk says, when you have a stranger, a convert, in your land, don't make fun of him. Don't be mean to him. Don't say words that are nasty, etc. Rather, treat him like a commoner, a brother. So the juxtaposition there is funny. And the Sforno beautifully explains the juxtaposition. These are the ones who learn the Torah. And the Gemara Masechet Kedushin says, "Ein zaken ela misha kana chachma." Over here, when the Torah says to honor the pnei zaken, it's not a reference to someone who is old in terms of the years of his life. Rather, it means someone who's acquired wisdom. So you might have thought that what you only have to respect the highest members of society, if you assume rabbis are in the higher end of society. So therefore, what does the next pasuk teach you? In the same way, you have to respect rabbis, what do you also have to do? The achar shehizir al kavod hakedoshim. So once the Torah says you have to respect the kedoshim, the holy members of the community, hizir milevazot et hashvalim. It says also, don't make fun of the lowlier members of society. Imagine if you had a community which treated the rabbis with a lot of respect. They stand up when the rabbi walks into the room. They honor him wherever. But they're not nice to one another. The guy who has more of a, we'll say, a working class style of life walks into the shul and doesn't earn the community's respect. That is highly inappropriate. We don't view the respect of a rabbi to the exclusion of the respect to the respect of the commoner. I love that Sforno. And I'm going to use this as a springboard to talk about the relationship we have between the rabbis and the commoner, so to speak, the rabbis and the broader community when it comes to living in Eretz Yisrael. Because the next pasuk, he gives an ironic shout out to Eretz Yisrael. V'chi yagor itcha ger ba'artzichem. When a convert lives with you in your land, lo tonu oso, you shall not treat him poorly. And the Gemara tries to figure out why does the Torah specify Eretz Yisrael? It's a little bit of a funny thing to say. Don't be mean. Don't say any negative comments to a convert in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara actually entertains the possibility. Maybe you would have thought to only accept converts out of Eretz Yisrael, because maybe in Eretz Yisrael they have ulterior motives or vice versa. And the Gemara says, well, this needs to teach us that we accept converts actually from all over, whether they're from Israel, not from Israel, not for now. But we'll use this at least as a springboard to the following question. Should American rabbis be making aliyah or not? Obviously, the Torah in this week's Parsha Acharemos just taught us it's a different ballgame in Eretz Yisrael. How could you not live there? It's the palace of the king. You can't ignore that. Similarly, what did we just learn? That you have to honor rabbis. So wait a minute. So if you were to put two and two together, so would you argue that if all the rabbis were to make aliyah, we should follow them? So let's do a little bit of current events. Rachmana Litzlan, Rabbi Leo D. recently lost his two daughters and his wife. And what happened? It was covered in Arutz Sheva. Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg went to go visit him because Rabbi D. actually quoted him in the funeral. Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg was so touched by the fact that Rabbi Leo D. of Efrat in Israel listened to his Shum and Amuna, thanks to YU Torah, that he himself could not go pay a Shiva call. And similarly, Rav Shai Schechter, also a Rebbe of Rabbi Leo D., and they both end up going from America to be with Eretz Yisrael Jews, the bereaved family in Efrat. And Rabbi Leo D. respectfully asks his Rebbeim of America, could you please make Aliyah? And the party line response of Rav Ephraim Goldberg at that time on the news was, it's not a matter of if we are going to Israel, it's only a matter of when we are going into Israel, i.e. right now we view our Tafkid as being in Boca Raton Synagogue, or Rav Shai Schechter is doing amazing things in Woodmere and in Stern College, etc. And they're essentially responding, we feel like brothers. We even got on a plane to visit you in this most sensitive moment of your life. We're here to show achdus. And respectfully, we don't feel like it's our time to come live here permanently just yet. TABC this week, who they hosted out of Yom Ha'atzmaut? By Larry Rothwax. Why? He lives in Teaneck, New Jersey. But where is he going? To Eretz Yisrael. It's already advertised. He was interviewed in the most recent publication of the Mizrahi magazine about his new community, Rothstein Heights, if I'm not mistaken, in the Ramat Beit Shemesh broader community. A lot of construction going on. And Rabbi Rothwax was the featured speaker at our Yom Ha'atzmaut program. We had blue and white donuts, blue and white cookies, a ton of shawarma. Rabbi Rothwax, right? It was a very, very festive day. I undoubtedly, the boys will remember the blue and white donuts, the blue and white cookies, the shawarma, and all the free falafel. A shout out to Yala. They do wonderful things to connect the Jews of Bring County to Eretz Yisrael food. You've eaten Yala? How are you into it? You've been there. All right. I asked Gabe Cohen of Fairlawn, New Jersey today if he had a blue and white cookie on Yom Ha'atzmaut, and he said no. So shout out to Yotze. Yom Ha'atzmaut, if you have a blue white cookie. That's a good halacha. If you are gluten free, are you chayv to risk your life if you're gluten free? How much did I blow my cookie? There's another shir. But it's a good shtick. You know, obviously, sometimes American Jews are given mussar by the Israeli Jews. Oh, on Yom Ha'atzmaut, you eat a blue and white cookie and you think you're all of a sudden pro-Israel. So I don't know, what are these random, like, Shalash Shudas leftover stories? So the great Rabbini Friedman, the Rosh Yeshiva of Oraita in the Old City, also he lives in Efrat, was here as last year when Mizrahi sends all the Israeli scholars in residence. This year we had an amazing Shabbos. It was awesome last Shabbos. Eve Harrow, she was unbelievable. That being said, last year Rabbini Friedman came and he was sitting near me at Shalashiris and we had some blue and white cookies. So I said to Rabbi Friedman a little bit sarcastically, look, we have blue and white cookies. We're all pro-Israel. And I offered him one. And he gave the plate back to me, and he said, you need them more than I do. He was saying, like, why do you keep on eating these until you actually get the message, man? It was a great shtick between me and Rabbini. He's great. He's an amazing person. Either way, obviously, it's very awkward when you get to Yom Ha'atzmaut, and Rabbi Rothwax got up, and he said, listen, it's a little funny. I'm not there yet, but at a minimum, I could say my plan is to go. And your plan should also be to go when, I can't tell you, but he said on a very statistical level, within 15 years, the majority of Jews will be in Israel. So he was teaching the TABC student body, whether you like it or not, this is happening. This is our homeland, and it's just a matter of whether you kind of subscribe to reality or not in a very respectful way. And again, he spoke eloquently, as he always does, and he had a lot of makoros and the like, but the point that both Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, Rabbi Rothwax were making was as follows. We are well aware of the fact that America is not the destination. There's no question about that, but it's almost like, just when do you want me to make Aliyah? When can I leave my community? And again, there are many rabbis who have gone, and Rabbi Rothwax himself, he's put in years and decades into his shul and his community, and he grew up here. Such an amazing hero of literally like American Jewish history. And there's a real question, a very genuine halachic question here of, is it appropriate for a rabbi to make aliyah? Is it irresponsible for a rabbi to make aliyah? What about the ripple effects that will have on his congregants and the people he's teaching? And is it a valid excuse for a rabbi to say, I can't make aliyah right now because I have people who I'm teaching who are literally getting closer to Torah and mitzvahs only because of me. I don't know what would happen if I left. So what do you think? What should be the party line of American rabbis? What would you say?
I don't know where the party line is, but in that article, it said that 20% of his shul made Aliyah
already. Rothwax, he did his job at coaching his team, his flock, to make Aliyah. I like that. That's a good point. So
if he goes there, they're coming back here.
Israel's big enough, I think. That's good. Right? That's a good, like, asterisk, the Nefesh B'Nefesh flyer. Like, if more people would leave Israel, if you made Aliyah, please do not come. Right? That is, Baruch Hashem, is not the case in that particular case. But does anyone think that it's important for rabbis not to make Aliyah? Anyone here like the other side of the coin? Yeah, so Rabbi Shalom Razner, great example of where, like, 20 years ago, he said, I'm making Aliyah, I expect you all to come with me. Let's do it. Yeah, and by the way, the founder of Nefesh B'Nefesh from our own community of the Meriden, right, by Josh Fass, he also was a rabbi in Boca Raton. And he went with his community at the time, if I'm not mistaken. I think he was a rabbi of a shul and said, I'm going to Israel. Who's coming? And he raised money, by the way, and said, we're all going together and I'll help the cause. But I'm not going into the details of that story. But yeah, that is a very unique opportunity for rabbis to come. Oh. Right. So the Lubavitch Rebbe, said Stuart, felt that if he were to leave, it would be very, we'll say, it would have very negative effects on the Jews of America. He was needed here. Yeah. That's the Lubavitch Rebbe in particular. Right, so we have a shita.
Rav Schechter, I forgot who he said.
That's it. Very good.
He said he was speaking to somebody. He said, "Why don't you return to Israel?" And he says to him, "Okay, what do you do in America?"
Oh, we'll talk about that story. Very good.
So he explained to him all the shurim because America is only you should.
Very good. Very good. Okay. So we have a mitzvah in the parsha to honor rabbis, and we'll speak about this because it will have a direct impact on Aliyah. But we can understand the need, obviously, for rabbis to stay and lead the congregations here. So Sefer Chinuch Reish Nun Zayin says, Mitzvat Kibur Chachamim. One of the 613 mitzvahs is to honor rabbis, or Torah scholars, rather. Lekabed HaChachamim, V'lakum Ibipneyem, to honor them, to stand in their presence. Shemar Mipnei Sevat Takum. And Unkelus translate the pasuk as min kadam desaver beoraisa takum, right? So someone who has learned a lot of Torah, you should stand. Vahadarta pnei zakein. The Gemara Kedushin understands ein zakein elamisha kana chachma. It's not a reference again to age, but it's a reference to a talmid chacham. Now, why should we do this? The Sefer Chinuch and the Shar Shei Mitzvah explains lafisha ikur heyos adam niver beolam hazem pnei hachachma. The main goal of us in this world is to acquire Torah wisdom. Kadesha Yakir Bora'o, so that we recognize Hashem. Alakein Ra'oi Livnei Adam, Lechabin Mishay Sigosa. So certainly if we see someone who has acquired that wisdom, we should stand for them. Meaning this guy has figured it out. We're here in this world to try to find God. This guy has found God. He deserves our honor. Umitoch Kachit Oru Ha'acher Maleh. And if you honor the rabbi, it will spread to other people. Being machshiv, to recognizing the greatness of Torah wisdom, they'll also honor rabbis. So there's no question that we have to honor rabbis, and we will follow their moves, we'll recognize that what the rabbis do represents the will of God. So now the question, unfortunately, falls on all the rabbis of history, namely, well, if you make Aliyah, we'll make Aliyah. You represent the will of God by your actions. We stand for you, because we recognize that you represent Hashem. And you know, the Noda Yehuda was asked this question. Baalei Tosfos deals with this question. Rav Moshe Feinstein deals with this question. As if Aliyah, living in Eretz Yisrael, is such a big deal, then why do the Rishonim not live in Eretz Yisrael? Oh, so Stuart says, very good. Very good. Excellent. So says Stuart, wait, it's not all or nothing.
These were very big.
Right, so yeah, so it is a valid question, why did they not all? So Stuart has a long list of Baalei Rishonim who did actually make the way there. But there is a Gemara in Shas itself, which will be the source for some to at least categorize this concept of staying in Galus with a rabbi or for the sake of Talmud Torah. Meseches Megillah Tezayin Amud Beis. Amar Ravi, Tamer of Shmuel Bar Mirsa, Gadol Talmud Torah Yosem Ibinyan Beis Hamikdash. Talmud Torah overrides the construction of the Beis Hamikdash. Shekol Zman Shebaruch Ben Neriya Kayim Lohiniach Ezra Ve'Allah. So Ezra Sofer did not leave Galus, did not leave Bavel to go back up to Eretz Israel until his Rebbe Baruch Ben Neriya passed away. Now Rashi explains over there, Shekol Zman Shebaruch Ben Neriya Kayim Lohiniach Ezra Ve'Allah. We know the edict of Cyrus. Koresh gives the permission for the Jews to leave and return to Eretz Yisrael. Yet apparently Ezra did not leave right away. The Beis Hamikdash is already under construction. Ezra did not go right away. Etc. So the question is, what was Ezra waiting for? So the Midrash Shir Shirim that Rashi is alluding to is the following: the major shaya lo mi torah mi baruch ben area bebavel ubaruch lo ala mi bavel umeisham betoch hashanim alalu, and that is what happened. And the full midrash here is on the Mar Makomos. Ezra v'siato v'chavurasa lo alu me'os hashah. Even though Koresh had given the green light for the Jews to return to Israel, Ezra did not go immediately. V'lama lo ala be'os hashah. Ezra shaya tzarich levarer talmudo lifnei baruch ben area. Ezra felt, how could I leave my Rebbe? Because I'm going to learn the Torah better here. My Rebbe's here, my Torah is here. So ask the Midrash, well, the Rebbe should make Aliyah. V'yala Baruch Ben Arya. Ela Amri Baruch Ben Arya Adam Gadol the Yashishaya. He was older, he was an elderly man. V'afilu bigalakki. I'm sure that one more time. V'afilu bigalakatika. I promise you I know how to read. It's just very late on a Thursday night after a long week of teaching seniors who are checked out of high school. All right, lo hayachol. So he, but it's like pikuach nefesh, these high school kids who are officially like enrolled in college in Shana Aleph in like the month of May. But without my little personal frustrations, ran to sign on a late Thursday night. The Baruch Mener, you couldn't even, that does not apply to your kids, Howie. Your kids are always angels. And even the Rebbe couldn't go. If you would have wagoned him, you could have wheeled him there. You could have given him a first class ticket and a Benefesh flight. Apparently, he wouldn't have been able to make the trip. Too much, and we could understand such a thing.
Wow.
So here you have in Shas a source which will be used on a halachic level to say, you know what? Eretz Yisrael is unbelievable. Try to get there as fast as you can. But maybe Talmud Torah is an exception. There's Gemara Avodah Zarah, which also speaks of Kohanim being metame for certain exceptions. And based on that Gemara, according to the Kesef Mishnah, the Rambam writes, Malachim, Perakei Halachates, Asur Latzeis Eretz Yisrael Chutz La'aretz La'olam. You may not leave Israel for Chutz La'aretz, but here are the exceptions. Ela Lilmo Torah, there it is. You can leave Israel to learn Torah, Lisa Isho, Lahatzim Yad Hagoyim, the Yachzos. We actually, Baruch Hashem, have given a share on this topic about the Isser, the prohibition to leave Eretz Yisrael. Not for now. But what do we learn from the fact that you are even allowed to leave Israel for the sake of Talmud Torah? So Kal Vachomer, all the more so what? If you're allowed to leave Israel for the sake of Talmud Torah, all the more so you don't have to go there in the first place. You don't have to leave Galus for Israel. The Torah is already there. So this Kal Vachomer is in a Sefer that I open up this time of year. There are like, you know, different times of year open up different Svarim. The Sefer Alo Na'aleh, I would argue, is one of the most underrated Svarim in our Wagyu, Young Israel, whatever you want to call us, community. Rav Shlomo Aviner, maybe the most prolific Talmud Chacham on the planet Earth right now. He's a very large amount of Svarim. And here in this Sefer Alo Na'aleh, he responds to the Satmar Rebbe's writings in a very respectful way. And he writes all about it, it's Israel, etc. And he, believe it or not, has a chapter on this topic. And maybe, I don't know, a very large percentage of my Makoros this evening come from this Sefer, Alo Na'aleh. I highly recommend the Sefer if you're interested in this topic. And there again, black on white, he uses this as a source. And the Trumas Hadeshen, one of the Rishonim. Just one more point. The Kesef Mishnah elaborates on this halacha. And he says, if you look closely at the Gemara Avodah Zarah, the Kesef Mishnah writes that who is allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go learn Torah in Fairlawn, New Jersey? Afilu yesh b'Eretz Yisrael misha yilamduhu. Even if you have a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, you can still leave. Why? Why? Shalom min hakola adam zoche lilmud. You're not always going to be successful with every teacher. So, you know, it's very common for people to go to Eretz Yisrael and then they want to specifically go to YU afterward. Why? There's a certain mahalach, there's a certain way of learning that's in the YU-based medrash. Maybe it's rare. I can understand the father saying, I want you to specifically learn under Rav Schechter, under Rav Rosenzweig, etc. A very unique style, whatever. So what if the Talmud says, well, I have a very wonderful Rebbe here, I learned beautifully. Okay, so maybe you shouldn't return. But if hypothetically someone really felt strongly that the Rebbe or the learning style of America, or I mean, obviously this is not limited to America, Canada, England, whatever you want to say, South Africa. Ultimately, if there's a certain yeshiva that's your flavor, so it's a legitimate concept to leave Eretz Yisrael and even stay in Chutz La'aretz for. So the Trumas Hadeshen also, when he deals with this shaila of whether or not you have an obligation to make aliyah, to live in Israel, in the Trumas Hadeshen's time, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, so one of the factors is whether or not there is established Torah over there. He says, at the time of his writing, it's Hoel ve'ein lanu ba'avono be'onot kibbutz bachurim v'talmud Torah l'sham. So one of the factors of going into Israel hundreds and hundreds of years ago was that there was not yet a foundation of Torah there, right? You know, like the film The Gaon in the 1700s says it's now it's time to go and kind of build Torah there. And again, the Trumas Hadeshen concludes that tshuva by writing as follows, underline, Lachain, kol ish yishar ba'atzim ba'sagas gufa mamon. Everyone has to do self-introspection, whether you can afford it, whether you're physically capable. Basically, if you could keep Torah mitzvahs in Israel, wonderful. But if you're going to more properly observe the Torah in Chutz La'aretz. So stay in Chutz La'aretz again. And again, a couple of years ago, we dealt with the Shaila on Mendy's morning program, the Netzach program. We dealt with a Shaila entitled, How Calculated Should Aliyah Be? So that is still on YU Torah, and it's more about money and all these other factors. This evening, we're focusing specifically on Talmud Torah and Rebbeim in particular. So, but on the books, it's very clear that Talmud Torah is a very legitimate factor that can outweigh Eretz Yisrael. Yikes. And again, I'm not one to say that anything should outweigh living in Eretz Yisrael, but you can't ignore these Ma'am Rekomos. And for a second, you know, let's just, yeah, sir. Yes, yes, he's in the lines that they're showing him. Correct, correct, right. He was dealing with that where it was legitimately dangerous and there was no spiritual life there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, he was one of the latest Rishonim. But anyway, I don't want to dwell on his point. But at least on a practical level, it's another example of where one of the Rishonim puts Talmud Torah over Eretz Yisrael. But the question of the rabbis actually comes up explicitly. It's literally explicitly in the Maharam Shik. And this is the Marmakomos. What I'm about to quote to you, this is the Mar Malkum that Rav Shechter references. So there are two tshuvos in the Maharam Shik, back to back. The first tshuva, I'm going to not gloss over entirely, but again, it's very similar to the Tshuva Sedeshen, where his essential concern is practical. Safety, money, and again, a couple years ago we dealt more with that, Shaila, but he does reference this Noda B'Yuda, where they asked, why did the Baalei HaTosafos not go up to Eretz Yisrael? And again, without going into all those details, the second Shuvah of the Maharam Shik is really the one that Rav Shechter quotes, because he was asked by a rabbi, Me'it hanagid ha-torani u'bikesh meni lechtov lecha daiti b'inyan nisyascha. Should I go up to Eretz Yisrael and essentially what? Turn my back, seemingly, on my congregants. Wow. And he quotes the sources that we've been speaking about this evening. And I only know about this Maharam Shik again, Rav Shechter quoted it. And in the Sefer Na'alo Na'ala, he referenced the only reason I found it, because in a parenthesis in the Sefer Na'alo Na'ala. He says, V'nir devadai gambli Ezra lo haya chashash bitul habinyin. If Ezra never would have made Aliyah, they still would have been fine building the Beis HaMikdash. Nehemiah was already there. All right, but you know what? He goes into the midrash that we already learned. And he says the following: Baruch Benir didn't go up. The Daiti Yetzlo Haya Talmud Torah Durabim. Durabim Tzrichim Lo. Wow, wow. I mean, Baruch Benir was not just a student of an individual; he taught the masses. Durabim Tzrichim Lo. Tainu Kol Yisrael Shanisha Bavavil. The Talmud Torah, the Rabbim, the Adif Mehakol, Pshita de Eino Nitchem Ibn Ebinyam Beis HaMikdash. So he explains the earlier sources we have seen, whereby if you're really having a very real hashpa'ah on the community, so maybe that's your tafkid. Okay, and he invokes the principle of Osek B'mitzvah Patim Ben Mitzvah. Sorry, I did not underline the parts that I'm reading. I know it's a longer tshuva, but he says, this is the way Rav Shechter presents it, is that, umitam zanami etzlecha eich taniach mitzvah derab b'sha'ata osekba. Are you going to turn your back on all of the wonderful things you're doing? Lasos mitzvah limar Torah. Come on. Come on. He says, and ein savig motami levadai. Wow. Well, and zechus derabim. So he's respectfully responding. We don't know what's going to happen if you go there. Very good. So my understanding is that maybe you won't be able to do as much good there. Right. So this is the tone of the YU-based Medrash. The tone of the YU-based Medrash. Again, I only know this tshuva because of Rav Shechter. And Rav Shechter says that rabbis in America who are doing rabbinical work, communal work, should stay. And he quotes his rabbi. This is the Sefer Nefesh HaRav. On page Sadiches, not yet on the Marmakom Bashit. Adat Chovat Aliyah Le'eretz Hayas Rabbeinu Sofer, Rav Shechter. Now, in addition to Maram Shik, he says, my Rebbe said, Rav Soloveitchik, Rabbanim Umalandim Ba'America, Ubashar Makomos, Shepo'alim umatzlichim bekiruv. They're doing well in fighting again, like the reform movement, and that's what the Ramam Shuk was talking about. Einu min anachon sheyalu heimu eret. It's not proper for them to go to Israel. Va'yidei ken yishtamtu michovasam umeavodasam zu. Oh, you know what I'm so annoyed about? Rav Shechter quotes the same Ramam Shuk in parentheses here, and I had trouble finding it. Right, so again, Rav Chaim Ozer wrote a letter to Rav Kook. Unbelievable history over here. He right, and so he references it, and Rav Aviner quotes it verbatim. Oh, it's an amazing idea. He says, "Bidor hayasom kasha la'azov biglilo seno v'hayeshivos." Rav Chaim Ozer Gordinsky was the Gadol HaDor in Europe. And he wrote to Rav Kook. Oh my gosh. He said, how can you leave? How can you leave all the wonderful things you're doing in Chutz La'aretz? Wow. I guess Rav Kook knew better. We know the end of that story, right? Rav Kook seemingly left. I don't really get the end of that one. However, the dramatic episode in history here is with the great Rabbi Akiva Eiger, where Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer in the Sefer Shivat Zion, he writes the following, that Rabbi Akiva Eiger really wanted to make Aliyah an end of his life. But guess what happened? All of his students, and Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer himself was with them, V'amarnu lo, ki adanu. We know, Rebbe, shekasher yazov et artzenu, when you leave us, yador parua lishimatza bikamehem, we're going to be done. And that's exactly what happened. Ki acharei moso, when Rabbi Akiva Eiger died, nasador parus berabanim otovim. After he died, no one really was able to replace him. Wow. And the story that Adam referenced before, and then Rav Shechter didn't write this in his own favor, but Rav Aviner writes this about Rav Shechter, that the former Rav HaRashi of Eretz Yisrael, Rav Avram Shapiro Zatzal, met Rav Shechter, I think in the Wadi Beis Medrash, the story goes. He sat next to Rav Shechter, because I think, maybe Rav Shechter told me the story was, and he asked him, why did you not make Aliyah? And Rav Shechter started explaining all the wonderful things that he does. You know, I give a shir here, I give a shir there, I paskin this, I do that. Rav Shapiro responded, you have a chiv to remain in America. You have a chiv to remain in America. Okay, that's true. So that tone is clear, that there is a mahalach out there. You know, as we just saw it literally in the news from some of the most contemporary, most successful rabbis in America, Rav Goldberg, Rav Shai Shechter, that we're doing really good things here. We understand that it's our place to be here. Yet some rabbanim have done their time here, and they feel, okay, my time to leave is approaching. And there is a third party, I would say the unsung heroes. I have, I would say, two schools of friends that have smicha. There's a chevra of my buddies in like the Ramat Beit Shemesh area. They call themselves the Plan B option, meaning a lot of us went into smicha, and Plan A was to become a rabbi in America, and Plan B was to get a real job, so to speak, and make aliyah. So a lot of them did maybe a year or two of Rabbanus or a year or two of chinuch, and said, you know what, I'd rather be an American accountant or an American lawyer, whatever, make aliyah and try to work online or find an Israeli job, whatever, but aliyah for me is more important than chinuch or rabbanus. And that's a very valid approach as well, whereby some individuals felt, listen, I have smicha, but I'd rather raise my kids in Israel and live a life in Israel as opposed to whatever I'm be doing as a rabbi in America. So that's why it's a very case-by-case scenario, meaning literally if you're on the front lines fighting the reform movement, like the Maharam Shik's talking about, or the early, the mid-century, Rav Soloveitchik was talking about, on who knows, the 1960s, where the lines between conservative Jewry and Orthodox Jewry were very blurry, and you needed to establish those lines, like, is your shul Orthodox if it does not have a mechitza in it or not? So those were pretty big jobs. And for Rav Goldberg, Baruch Hashem, one of the most successful leaders of Torah in the world, whereby the rabbi in Efrat is listening to his Torah, from Efrat, from Boca Raton, So, he's doing good things. So I think it's really a case-by-case scenario, but I think every rabbi still has the same party line whereby, okay, but it's only a matter of when. So we know the Torah and the Sukkot Parsha says, okay, like we want to get there. There's no question about that. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, lastly, to conclude, says, there is no obligation. to make aliyah, but absolutely there is a mitzvah, kiyumis he calls it, to make aliyah. And what's his proof that it's not an obligation to make aliyah? What's sort of Moshe's raya? He says if it was an obligation, who would have made aliyah? All the rabbis. He says, that he said if it was true that we had to make aliyah, so what? Then all the rabbis would have done it. So just to end as we started, we know that we respect our rabbis. It's the mitzvah and the parsha, and the rabbis guide us. The Satmar Rebbe actually felt that he knew it was not okay to make aliyah. Do you know why? He says the Gdola Yisrael didn't go to Israel mishum shelo avu litchok es haketz. One of the proofs of Satmar Rebbe says that it's forbidden to go to Israel because the rabbis didn't do it. So we follow our rabbis. The Satmar Rebbe said, look, the greatest rabbis didn't make aliyah. It must be forbidden. On a less dramatic level, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, look, the greatest rabbis didn't make aliyah. It must not be an obligation. You can't say that all the greatest rabbis of history violated an isser. How can you say that? It must be they felt it was an obligation. And on a more contemporary level, we followed the decision of our rabbis who are now encouraging us, Dafka, to make aliyah. So we stand for our rabbis and we move with our rabbis. And yes, the tone of the rabbis of America is we should get there when possible, if possible. But at a minimum, we should still uphold our Torah for as long as possible in this wonderful community of family in New Jersey. And with that, we shall daven Marv.